Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints, smoother than smooth here on this Tuesday morning. Let's go to our phone. By the way, Jeff Saturday coming up in a couple of hours. We'll talk about the Titans' next opponent like we will with our next guest. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bob Kravitz is on the line, covers the Colts for The Athletic, been covering the team for a very, very long time in that market. Bob, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I like the Ramones re-entry. There you go.
Yeah, it gets everybody going a little bit on this Tuesday morning. So
exactly right.
And now we've got this matchup with the Titans and Colts two times in the next 3 weeks. These two teams will face off. Let's just start with the game that was taking place this past weekend. I just got to get your thoughts. Like, nobody here is rooting for the Colts to win, but if we're being honest with ourselves, as we talked about yesterday, like that play they called an interception, I mean, come on. If that's a catch, we're back to square one on what's a catch and what's not a catch.
Yeah, that's the column that I wrote. And, you know, I mean, look, is that the reason they lost the game? No. You know, I mean, Baltimore scored 17 straight points in the second half and totally shut down the Colts' offense. But that was one of the most egregious calls I have seen in a long time. And I kept thinking, Dez Bryant must be on the Baltimore and thinking, what the hell is a catch? How can that be a catch? And mine back in 2014 wasn't a catch. I don't get it. It was a miserable call. Replay made it exponentially worse. It's not the reason they lost, but it certainly didn't help because Indianapolis had all the momentum at that point.
You're right about that. Good reference with Dez Bryant being back after many, many years being away. He had to have been sitting there going, really? That's a catch?
Really?
There's so many wannabe GMs around the country because fantasy football is a big deal. Millions and millions of potential GMs around the country all thought Jonathan Taylor was going to have a monster year for Indy, Bob, as he went very, very high, at least in all the fantasy drafts I was in this year. Is it fair to say to this point, and I know he had the big fumble that really kind of changed the momentum of the game, but how would you assess his career to this point at the midway point for Indianapolis with Jonathan Taylor?
Well, you know, he started off well, and I remember writing a column off the first game and saying a star is born. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's going to be the next Edgerrin James. He looked that good. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's vision. I don't know if it's being tentative or what it is, but he has not played well. He's basically been benched in the second half of the last two games. Now, they have a guy, Jordan Wilkins, and they have kind of a gadget guy in Nyheim Hines, who can both get the job done. But, you know, I think something we need to keep in mind is, you know, not only is he a rookie, but he's a rookie coming in the year when everything's turned upside down. And nobody's gotten the offseason workouts that they would normally have. So I would think of all the years for rookies to come into the league, this has got to be the most challenging. So you hope that that's what's going on with Jonathan Taylor. I still think he's a hell of a football player. I think he just needs time to get acclimated still.
Paris Campbell, the wide receiver, was taken in the same draft as A.J. Brown for the Titans, so both in their second year and first game. I mean, I know he battled the injuries last year. First game, jumps out there. I know he had a nice, I think he had six or seven grabs in the first game. Looked like, okay, a healthy Paris Campbell, maybe he can help this Indianapolis offense. And then I think it was the very next game he got hurt, and he's been out ever since. Is his season done, or is there a possible return for him? Is that anytime soon? Is it maybe even Thursday?
There's a possibility of his return. When that might be, you know how football coaches are. Well, he's progressing, but we don't have a timetable. So, they need guys like him desperately. T.Y. Hilton has got a groin now. He looks like he's on the back nine of his career, maybe the 17th hole. You know, for whatever reason, I mean, well, not whatever reason. Father Time, I think, has caught up. He turns 31, I think, next week. But he seems to have hit the same wall that Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison hit when they were 35. So they desperately need game breakers. And right now, without Paris Campbell, without T.Y. Hilton, they just don't have anybody who can stretch a defense.
Talking to Bob Kravitz with The Athletic covering the Colts, the big matchup. The first of two over the next 3 weeks is Thursday night here in Nashville. And, Bob, you just sort of set the table for what Phillip Rivers is dealing with. And so as you try to assess what they're getting compared to what they thought they would get when they signed him, trying to be fair, it hasn't been easy weapons-wise, but how would you assess his play?
Yeah, I look, they wanted an upgrade on Jacoby Brissett. I think they got that, but I don't think it's a significant upgrade. You know, remember last year they started the season 5-2 as well, and people were talking, myself included, about how well Jacoby was playing. Then he got a little bit dinged, and he fell apart in the last nine games. He didn't play two games, but the last seven games. I think Phillip, he's had two good games. Otherwise, he's been fairly efficient. I think he's lost two games for them, Cleveland and Jacksonville. So he's been, I don't want to say a disappointment, because this is exactly what we thought we were, this is what I thought they were getting. He was a guy who's, again, on the back nine of his career, who doesn't have the arm strength he used to. And the problem he's got is not only does he not have a great catch of wide receivers, but they're not running the ball well this year. They finished seventh in the league in rushing last year. And you remember that Kansas City game where they just pummeled the Chiefs with the running game. And it's not happening this year. They're last in the league in yards per carry average. So he's not getting a whole hell of a lot of help.
Well, let's flip it to the other side, because one thing that the Colts have done very well is stuff the run. And, of course, that's always a matchup you have to look at when you're playing the Titans. So that would appear to be – so how do you think they'll go about trying to curtail Derrick Henry? Because that's where really the game starts.
Right. Well, I think they're going to sell out to stop the run and make Tannehill throw. And the problem for the Colts is Tannehill can throw. Tannehill – has become a really fine quarterback in this league. Last year wasn't a fluke. He just came of age. The light went on, whatever you want to say. But, yeah, they're going to sell out to stop the run initially. It's what they've been doing all year. It's a shame, because this is a defense who I think has a chance to take this team really deep into the playoffs, but they don't have an offense to pair with it. And so I just think they're going to do what they've always done and try to force Tennessee to be one-dimensional.
You hit on something that I feel like I had noticed, and I was interested in your thoughts about it, where the turnover, if you look at some of the ratings of the Colts, especially, you know, overall and in particular on defense, they're really good. But
they're really good.
The Jacksonville game, the Browns game, I got a chance to watch. It was on here in Nashville. And even you could argue the Ravens game, where they're playing a brilliant first half and then they give away the ball and it's a score right there. Those big plays, the turnovers, have meant everything, and it's cost them a couple of wins.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Jacksonville game, they just frittered that one away. That's not a word I often use, frittered.
Put it in your next column.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but I thought, well, this is radio. I can't do that.
Okay.
and the Cleveland game, I thought that Phillip Rivers killed him in that game, too. So I'd say two out of their three losses, Rivers really hurt them with ill-timed interceptions, usually late in the game. That pick six against Cleveland was atrocious. That's something a guy who's been in the league 17 years can't be doing. It's when they've lost. Excuse me, coming down a little something here. When they've lost, it's been mostly self-inflicted for the most part.
We're talking to Bob Kravitz of The Athletic about the Colts-Titans matchup on Thursday Night Football. So just with the quarterback theme for a second, I mean, as you kind of laid out, this was probably going to be a one-year thing with Phillip Rivers. He signed the one-year deal, but Frank Reich is known for working with quarterbacks. So what is kind of the plan after this year. I mean, I don't view it as Jacob Eason. I don't know if they view it as Jacob Eason, but what is the plan, you know, for him to develop? What's next for the Colts?
Well, they have not gone on the record and said anything about their long-term plans. I mean, I think that's something we'll get to eventually once you get through the season. But I think they've got to sell out and move up in the draft and get the guy they need. Clearly, you're just treading water. You're in kind of competitive purgatory when you've got Phillip Rivers. And like I say, this defense is good enough to get them deep into the playoffs, maybe even to a Super Bowl. But offensively, they're just so limited. And while I think, you know, Phillip Rivers is a good bridge quarterback, I don't want to see him again next year. You know, I just don't. I think, you know, he's become kind of a game manager. He had a really nice game against Detroit last week. But other than that, he's been very, very, very average, if not worse than average.
You talk about, you use the phrase on the back nine of their career. Justin Houston is another one that I think probably fits that mold. But in the couple years that he's been there, now with DeForest Buckner on this defensive front as well, how has Justin Houston made an impact?
Oh, he's been really good. He was their leading sack guy last year. He's been very good this year. I mean, their defensive line, you know, Chris Ballard, the GM, wanted to build this thing out from front to back. So their offensive line, while they haven't run the ball well this year, they are, you know, theoretically a good offensive line, I guess. They've shown that in the past. Their defensive line with DeForest Buckner, who's completely changed the mindset over there, with Justin Houston, Grover Stewart, Danico Autry, they have been playing exceptionally good football.
What kind of similarities do you see in, because they've been there around the same amount of time, the growth of the Frank Reich-Ballard relationship and the growth of the Robinson-Vrabel relationship here in Tennessee, because these two teams, you know, made those types of changes around the same time. What similarities have you seen in kind of their growth patterns?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't pay really close attention to the Titans until the Colts play them twice a year. But pardon me. You know, I think that, you know, Ballard and Reich seem to be on the same page. You know, Reich really put himself out there this year because he really pushed for Phillip Rivers. And if Phillip Rivers fails, then Frank Reich fails. And, I don't think anybody's in trouble here. I think, you know, they're going to be given a really long leash. But the Colts haven't made the playoffs on, what is it, four out of the last 5 years, three out of the last four, I forget. You know, they have not been a very good team. But, you know, I think Frank Reich is a solid coach, and he'll do some things that leave your head, you know, make you scratch your head. He's very, very aggressive. You know, he learned that from Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, that you do take chances. You go for it on fourth down no matter where you are. But, you know, I think, look, after we went through Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano, who, you know, were ready to kill each other, it's kind of nice to have a front office where there seems to be some kumbaya.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob Kravitz covered the Colts for a long time. He's with The Athletic. They're in Indianapolis. Hey, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to a fun matchup Thursday night.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. This matchup, as we've said yesterday, it could very well be for the AFC South. We'll discuss that. Willie, I know you have some numbers that we will get into when we come back to Aaron Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.